Hello and welcome to the latest exciting installment of the Bad Wolf podcast. I'm Martin, and joining me this week, I have Jared.
Hello everybody, and how are you all doing? I hope you're having a fantastic Friday, and I hope you're excited for what we are about to bring you tonight.
So in 11 years, Jared, this is the first time we've ever put out an episode for Halloween.
Oh my God, you know, you're absolutely right.
And every year we've planned to do something, like we've talked about it, what's going to happen, but for whatever reason, it just never comes to fruition. But anyway, my good man, how are you doing?
I'm very well, my good man. I'm awesome. I'm great. It's Friday. The weekend is about to be upon us. I'm about ready to get myself wasted on alcohol. I couldn't be any more happier.
You sound really good. We should explain that we are recording on a Rodecaster Pro.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go into more details at the end of this episode because I've got some people I need to thank. But a theatre company that's backed by a charity very kindly gave me a grant as a disabled person and a disabled artist. Podcasting is an art form. They said that I was entitled to this money to make our podcast better.
Ooh, well, I'm glad you were able to get this grant, and I'm glad that you were able to upgrade our technology to make us sound more professional,
Let's hope so. Depends what version people are listening to.
That's a good point.
If it went well, then you're listening to the one recorded on the Rodecaster Pro. If it didn't, then you're listening to the very bad audio recorded with us sitting about 2 feet apart on the Zoom H5.
So 2 feet, 2 meters, mate.
Well, maybe we're following
the regulations.
What have you been up to?
Let's see. So I've been working, wanking, working, watching TV, working. Yeah, so that's about it.
Oh, so you've been doing the 8 W's.
Yep, the 8 W's.
So we just went to our local Odeon and we saw a classic film from 1978 called Halloween. Now, Halloween is one of my favorite films of all time. And I didn't realize this today, good listener. Jared's never seen them. This was his first introduction.
A single one.
And it was really busy at the cinema tonight. I was not expecting that.
Of course, we did follow social regulations and guidelines and stuff like that. We were socially distanced from everybody else. But I needed to hug Martin while this horror film was being played out.
And it started off really weirdly. We got this thing that was recorded in 2015, which was John Carpenter introducing the film and talking about the making of it. And it's kind of like a 15-minute documentary, and it seemed really odd. And there was a moment where I was like, fuck, did I book tickets to a documentary about Halloween? And then they played the film. But it was interesting. But it just felt weird to have that start.
Yeah, that was so strange. I was just looking at the time like, mate, what is going on? There was no indication, no like piece of information letting us know that this was going to go ahead beforehand. I mean, I would understand if they had managed to pull off something with him more in 2020, because understandably Halloween and people can't do Halloween as they usually do with the trick-or-treating and stuff like that because of the whole pandemic and everything. But it was just weird.
Yeah, it was strange. It was nice, though. I mean, I learned some stuff, even though I pretty much knew all of it anyway. But it was nice. But yeah, just a weird way to do it. And the fact that they didn't advertise that was going to happen as well. So yeah. it was very strange.
Before we continue on, I have a confession. I don't think I have seen not one John Carpenter film up until today.
You must have seen They Live.
No, I haven't even seen They Live.
The Thing?
Nope.
I'm going to see if I've got a sound effect to go with that, because I've now got a soundboard. So let's see. Oh, no, that's an applause. Yeah, there we go. That's the perfect one. It's the trombones going wah, wah, wah. Oh, there we go.
God.
There we go. I still don't properly know how to use this equipment, but let me just do a clean cut for that one. Wow, how can you have not seen a John Carpenter film and you're nearly 40 years old?
Mate, I know who he is. I know who he is very well. I know, I've heard of him. I've heard of They Live. I know about They Live. I even know about The Thing. I just have not seen it.
Escape from New York.
Is that a John Carpenter film?
Yes.
Okay, no, it's fine. Then I've seen it. I've seen the John Carpenter film then. I've seen that.
Jesus.
What?
Okay, so what did you know about Halloween going in? Because I think the music is so iconic that even if you've never seen the films, you would know that.
That. Of course I knew about Jason.
Michael Myers.
Michael. Well, one of the two.
So you knew the killer's Michael Myers.
I knew he was Michael Myers the killer. I knew about the film theme song to it. I knew about Jamie Lee Curtis, of course. But I just had not watched the film.
I guess there's certain things that are just out there in culture that you just absorb over the years. Like, you don't necessarily have to have seen The Simpsons to know who Bart Simpson is.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like, you don't have to have seen Star Wars to get a Yoda reference.
Exactly.
But man, it's blown my mind. Like, I remember I first saw this film when I was about 15, 16. And we used to have this neighbor who lived three or four doors down, and he used to be in the comic industry. He worked for 2000 AD and he would bring me home all the comics. But his room upstairs, he had a spare room upstairs. You worked with his son actually at Marks and Spencer's. He's the one who had the breakdown. His dad used to live four doors down from me.
Oh.
And he worked for 2000 AD. So he would bring home all his comics. But in the box room in the house was a video library. And I didn't really have any grandparents growing up. So Pat and Dave, these elderly neighbors, kind of became like my, I guess, surrogate grandparents. And he used to recommend films that he thought I would like. And one day I went around there. I was like, what do you have? I'm in the mood for a horror. And he handed me Halloween. And that was the first time I saw it. What did you think about it going in then?
Now, it's really hard to say because I was thinking about this while I was watching the film. Now, you have to take into consideration that it is 2020 and films have, I wouldn't say become better. I wouldn't say like horror films have had the best storylines and stuff like that. But with CGI and everything, it's made it a lot better and people are a little bit better because I can definitely tell that the actors, like a good portion of the actors who had come into it were new. This was their first time doing it, like Jamie Lee Curtis and the people who played her friends and stuff like that. Because when they were dead, you could still see them breathing and stuff like that. And the way they died was just atrocious. And it's just, I mean, if I had seen it when I was younger, I would have been like, okay, this is insane. This is like scary as hell. But
well, I think the problem you're having now is you're coming at this so much later when so much has imitated and been influenced by Halloween that you probably feel like you've seen it all before when you watch it now.
Basically.
It's kind of weird that it took to 1978 before somebody decided to call a film Halloween. Think of like the 200 years of cinema, and it was only like 40 odd years ago that somebody thought to call a film Halloween. It was originally called The Babysitter Killer.
Okay.
But then somebody just went, what about Halloween? Because it's set on Halloween.
Yeah, that makes that
makes so much more better sense. So what do you know about the production of the film and stuff? Did you know that the Michael Myers face is William Shatner?
Nope.
Basically, they were looking for a design, and this film had no money. The reason you don't really see any parents in this is because they just didn't have the budget for extras. But that's led to speculation by fans that every adult in Haddonfield is a swinger.
Yeah, it seems like it because everyone was going out.
The mask is a Captain Kirk mask with the eyes made bigger and painted white.
Oh.
And William Shatner gets no royalties from it because it's not recognizably William Shatner.
Good. Good. He's fine.
I'm sure Shatner's doing fine. But yeah, I love this film. I love the plotting. I love the pacing. I know modern horror films, you would have so many more people die in the first hour now. I think only three people die in the first hour. The rest is just build up. And then the last half an hour is the full climax.
Straight up murder.
And they released the trailer for Halloween Kills yesterday, and I cannot wait to see it. Lorne, you know, the bully kid who ran up to the door to knock on the Myers house?
Yeah.
He's back. And basically, the synopsis for Halloween Kills is that the entire town are going after Michael Myers.
Oh, wow.
And I can't wait to see it. A lot of the sequels now don't count. So anything after the first Halloween and Halloween, also called Halloween, that came out in 2018... none of that's canon apart from those two now.
Okay.
Later films reveal that Laurie is the younger sister of Michael Myers, and that the dad we see at the beginning is the same dad, and like they just went on and had another family.
Oh,
I don't think that makes any sense, because why would you just change your name and move two streets away? I like that it's now been retconned, but in the continuity of the new, like the new timeline, all of those stories are just what other people around the town have told people.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of, it all happened, but in their minds, that's, oh, okay, that's what happened. Paul Rudd turns up as Tommy in one of the later sequels.
Is it?
Yeah. I think he's in Halloween 5 or 6. But yeah, this...
I haven't seen any of them, mate. It's just like, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of horror films, as you should be. Most probably are aware. Everybody else is aware. I hate horror films. Anything scary is not for me. I cannot have my heart pumping like crazy. I cannot have that jump scare. No. I can't be doing those horrors.
See, I love a good horror movie.
No, I don't. I love a good hentai. That's what I love. I love a good hentai.
I'm sure there's really famous hentais that I've got no idea exist.
Oh, yeah, bro. Now I can name a few. Jesus Christ. But yeah, no. So, I mean, seeing Jamie Lee Curtis that young, I mean, don't get me wrong. She's a very beautiful woman. But she's so cute. So cute. But her voice seems like it's just been the same voice.
Yeah, her voice has never changed.
It's just never changed at all. I was just like, I was not expecting it. I thought it was going to be like... higher pitch because she was younger, and as you get older, your voice drops.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, with a lot of people, but not everyone. But her voice just was just it's just been the same throughout, as far as I can remember.
You know when she rips off Michael Myers' mask?
Yeah, yeah. Because I never thought you'd see his face.
The person whose face you see isn't the actor that was playing Michael Myers all the time. They just wanted someone who looked so ordinary when they ripped the mask off, so they hired a guy just to be the face reveal.
Oh, okay. I was not expecting that. I thought they was always going to keep the face hidden. Like I said, I haven't seen it, so I assumed.
And I love the fact that his costume is just because he murdered a mechanic and took his overalls.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just got this mask that he acquired. And I just love Donald Pleasance in this, who's his psychiatrist, and his accent's a little bit wobbly. I've never been able to tell if he's trying to be American or if he's just Americanized his English-speaking ways a little bit.
Yeah, because he's been there.
But then again, if you've been living in America for a long time, you do change your cadences.
Yeah.
My ex's aunt has lived in America for about 25 years, and although she's still got an English accent, she's got American cadences. So she speaks a little bit faster than we do. She obviously says elevator, cell phone, and stuff like that. So maybe it's a little bit, yeah, of that.
You remember, oh no, was Ken in your year? Ken?
Ken, yeah, I remember Ken.
You know, with the basketball player who went to America and got the scholarship. Like, this was years ago when he came back here.
This won't mean anything to anyone.
This won't mean anything to anybody with the American. But it's similar with that, yeah, because he came back and he sounded, and he was more American sounding than he had, like, as what they call it, transatlantic.
Transatlantic, kind of like a Cary Grant kind of voice. Yeah, or like a, what's the guy from Through the Keyhole? Lloyd Grossman. He's who lives here. He's got that kind of, it's not American, but it's not English.
Yeah.
But I just love that he's a therapist, Donald Pleasance, who refers to his patient as it. And he's like, he's pure evil. I mean, if your therapist is calling you pure evil and referring to you as it, maybe you should request someone else.
Yeah, but he wasn't requesting nobody. Remember, he just used to sit there looking at, staring at the wall, but through the wall.
So what do you make about, because they kind of drop this in, and Donald Pleasance, Sam Loomis, says somebody must have given him lessons about driving. What do you think about Michael Myers being able to drive a car when he was incarcerated at 6 years old?
Yeah, because I thought that was because the way he got in that car and just peeled out me, I was like, how?
And I guess you could watch somebody do it, but I mean, driving's not that complicated. Anybody can pick it up.
Yes.
But I feel like you've got to be shown properly how to do it.
Yes.
I don't feel like my son could just get in a car and start it now.
No. Unless he did get in a car and just peeled out. Like, yes, bruv, I'm Gordon, bruv.
Well, if you're free this weekend, mate, bring your car around and we'll see.
Yeah. No. I'm good, thanks.
So I love this film so much. I'm just going to talking superlatives here, but I just absolutely love this film. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. I think everybody in it is just fantastic.
I saw boobs.
There's boobs. You used to have to put them in there for the teenage boys. And I remember this was a big plus for the film when I was watching it.
Yes, it was a big plus for me, and I'm 38 years old.
But there's something about John Carpenter's score that just gets you on a primal level. Like, just those simple notes, it kind of makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, and you just instantly know what it is. And I don't know how we came up with it.
See, that's the good thing about it, is because it doesn't need to be complicated. It does not. The music does not need to be complicated and insane and over the top. It was just simple keys and a bit of, I can't remember the name of the instrument they use, synthesizer.
He did say in that documentary that he thinks of music as a carpet. It's something that when it's under your feet, you don't really notice it, but you need it. And you know what it's doing, and you know it's there, but you're not really aware of it. And he kind of said that he sees music as a carpet. It's the thing you need to get you to the next level.
Yeah. See, sometimes it was overbearing when they were outside and they were talking and then they had the music playing. But other times it worked perfectly. Like, it set the scene of what was going to happen, and you knew something was coming, and it was just like anticipating that something was coming, and it was just going to be like, what is it going to be? But it was good. I like the film. It's just, I wish I had seen it way, 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 way earlier.
There is one thing I've never really understood, and that is when Annie spills the stuff down her clothes and she just gets naked in the kitchen, walks down to the laundry area to do the clothes. But it's like, you're in someone else's house.
I think it's like a close-knit community.
They all know each other. Yeah,
because well, they seem swingers, like it.
So.
Yeah, exactly. So they all, so you never know whose child is who belongs to which child, belongs to which parent, because they're all swinging around, swings and roundabouts.
But then again, I was thinking about the teenage couple who go in and have sex. And I was thinking, if I was going around someone's house and they weren't in, would I then just go up to the bedroom and have sex? And I guess maybe. We laughed in the cinema about the boyfriend who sleeps with Michael Myers' sister at the start, and like, in the time Michael Myers gets the knife out the drawer, the guy's walking downstairs getting dressed saying goodbye.
Yeah, and it's so like, man,
he must be like a three pump wonder.
Three pump, bro. That boy, from when they went upstairs, that boy had gone round the corner into the house, grabbed a knife, walked, and he's putting his clothes on. It would have to be, you have to get into the bedroom, do a bit of foreplay, get undressed while you're doing the foreplay, catch that pump in, get the exercise in, get dressed and be down the stairs by the time he's got the knife and he's by the stairs. Bro, it was a in there pump gone. I don't even think he took off his clothes.
The second he put it in, he must have.
Then again,
I remember what it was like being a teenager.
That wasn't me, bro.
You were never a free pump chump?
Nah, bro, I wasn't free pump chump, bro. I was going for gold medal, man. I was going for gold medal all the time. Don't talk about it to me now. I won't even be a full pump, bro. That was strange. And then he went outside and she's just sat there in her underwear, still near enough naked.
What do you think about it when Michael Myers puts the sheet on and pretends to be the boyfriend?
The whole thing was weird.
This whole film is almost too much on the nose, but it kind of just goes under a little bit.
Yeah, but when John Carpenter is talking about when he made the film, he's like, I just was doing it to get money so I could make the next one. We didn't realize this was going to be a hit.
Well, nobody ever does. That's the one question I hate when I'm listening to a podcast and I'll have someone like Taika Waititi on and they'll be like, oh, did you know this film was going to be such a success? It's like, if everyone knew what film was going to be a success, nobody would ever have a flop.
That's true.
Because you would know the formula. That's like saying to George Lucas, did you know Star Wars was going to be such a big success? It's like, how could he possibly fathom that?
Well, he must have, because he had five and six ready.
That's another thing we should talk about, is this came out in an era where the blockbuster had just become a thing. Like, we had Jaws, we had all of the big films coming out. It's Star Wars that come out in the summer just before this. And then here comes this low-budget film that just comes out of nowhere and blows all the competition out of the water. And that's something that horror does a lot. If you look at the Blair Witch Project, that was just two guys giving free actors a camera, sending them out into the woods and just being like, yeah, get on with it.
Mate, I don't even know, because I remember that everybody thought that was real. I remember that everybody was freaking out about that. Oh my God. Never watched it. The first time I watched it, that game was with you.
It is that thing though, that all the big horror movies always come out and they always come from a low budget film. That, like, Paranormal Activity is another example. I think they've done like 28 of those now.
Who knows?
But who could have foreseen that this film, entirely shot with a couple on their new camera, could launch two prequels, sequels, spin-offs? I'm sure somebody can point to an exception that proves the rule and they could be like, well, actually, in 1983, this film came out and it was a big budget film. But I mean, by and large, horror films are always really low budget, and the ones that smash always come from that guerrilla filmmaking style.
Absolutely.
I just love this film. Some of the sequels aren't as great. I mean, Halloween 2 is really good. The less said about Rob Zombie's remakes, the better. Well, that's not fair. The first Rob Zombie Halloween is all right.
Is he still directing films?
Yeah, I believe so, when someone lets him.
Did he still go under the moniker Rob Zombie?
Yep. His version of Halloween 2 is awful. But the first one, it had some interesting dynamics. But I can't wait for Halloween Kills. I think this is just a short podcast because it's just going to be me going, it's great, it's fantastic, I love it.
And me going, well...
The cinema was busier than I was anticipating.
It wasn't packed, but there were more faces in there. Like, there was less faces when we went to go see Tenet than there was when we went to see Halloween.
Yeah, and I just think that's because it's such a classic film and we're getting closer to Halloween. People wanted to go and see it. Sunday, they're playing Alien. And on Monday, they're playing Silence of the Lambs. And I will at least be going to one of those.
Put the lotion in the basket or she gets the wormholes again.
All right, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. It's very impromptu. We decided that seeing as we got this new equipment, we might as well come back to mine quickly.
Plus it's Halloween tomorrow.
It's Halloween tomorrow. It's going to be spooky. It's going to be weird not taking my kids trick-or-treating.
I think it's going to be more freaky now because of the whole pandemic than it is usually, because I think Halloween is like, oh, just for the children to have fun and do trick-or-treating and get chocolate. Now we've got the whole pandemic, it's just gonna be just weird.
I don't think trick-or-treating's on this year.
Oh no, I hope not.
When we went to co-op before the cinema, I did buy a bag of sweets just to leave outside in case any kids come.
Yeah, but why don't you leave them outside now? I'll go and take them for you. I'll be telling my child, trick-or-treat, trick-or-treat.
All right, so originally I didn't think we'd have any episodes out until December, but this coming Monday, I'm going to be recording with Sam and Chris.
Ooh.
Hopefully, Jared and I will record again pretty soon.
Hopefully, but it will be when I'm in my house because, you know, I don't like traveling.
You don't like traveling. I don't have the proper mics to go with the Rodecaster Pro yet. There was a mix-up with my order, so we are using my two old tin can mics that are on their way out. So if we sound like we're talking through two tin cans on pieces of string, it's because that's what we're pretty much doing.
Yeah, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's play the Halloween theme again. Equipment used in the creation of this feature was purchased for a grant from Gray and the Paul Hamlin Foundation.